Well, some of you might remember the old song we used to sing in Sunday school that we got taught in Sunday school. We still kind of teach. I haven't heard it in a while. It goes, my God is so big, so... Yeah, you know, actually, okay, this is going to be the only time in history that I lead us in worship, okay? If you know it, sing it with me. My God is so big, so I'm not... You guys, there's more people that know this song. Let's try this again. Okay. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's right. Who knows the emotions? The only one I remember is mighty because I was a guy and I'm like, yeah, I want to do that one and flex. Melissa knows. Well, we teach that song to kids because we want to teach them about the power of God and what he's capable of. And that no matter what they're going through in life, God is bigger than that situation. We teach them that when school's hard, God will help you with it. That when you have problems with, you know, friends and relationships, that God will give you some wisdom to help you in it. That maybe when you lose a pet, with time it'll be okay because God loves you. And those are all very true, but trusting God in that simple childlike way, for some reason, over time, fades. Every time I have a conversation about this, there's two directions people will say the reason they fade. The first one, the first reason they'll give is what we grow and mature. And it makes trusting God like a child difficult. The other reason is, well, we learn about life, we learn about the world we live in, and then we become skeptics. And so trusting God with childlike faith is difficult. And I would say those are both true, but those aren't the main reason. The main reason it fades is we live in a fallen world. And a byproduct of living in a fallen world is our sin nature takes God and packs him into this little box, a box the size that we can wrap our mind around, and at the same time has a tendency to inflate us. So our sin nature takes our view of God and puts limits on him. Now, that isn't true for all people, but this is common to man. And here's just a little test to help you understand if you've ever dealt with this problem. I want you to answer this question to yourself. Has there ever been a situation in life that you thought was either too big for God or too small for God? Has there ever been a time that you thought, you know what, this situation's so small, I don't need to bother God with something this trivial. He's got too much on his plate, I don't need to pray about this, it's a small situation. Or maybe the other end. This problem is so big and so grand, I don't know if I can relinquish control. I don't know if I can relinquish this to God. I need to handle this. Maybe you've had something somewhere in between or some mix of those. But if you can answer yes, you've placed a limitation on God. If it's so small that you don't want to bother him with it, you're saying that God reaches a point that there's too much that he can handle. Or the opposite is true. That if this is too big that you can't trust God with it, then our God is not perfect and he can't help you in a perfect way. Well, as I prayed about this message, this is the direction God's led me in, that we'll spend some time today at the beginning of the year just focused on just how amazing God is. And to do that, it's going to be a little bit different message, but we're going to look at creation. We're going to join the psalmist today as they say the heavens are telling the glory of God, the sky the work of his fingers. Anyone ever, am I the only one that on a nice, cold, brisk, and I don't know why at wintertime the night seems to be clearer, but you go out, it's really nice outside, it's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you look up and enjoy looking at the stars. Am I the only one that likes doing that? Nope, lots of you good. Well, we're going to join the psalmist as they say, the heavens declare the glory of God, the sky the work of his fingers. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they tell us what they know. The sky is not up there just twinkling with beauty and amazement. They're telling us something. They're telling us that God is bigger than we could ever imagine. They're telling us that God is more powerful than we can ever imagine, and they're telling us He's more capable than we can dream. So today, we're going to take some time, sit in awe of how amazing God is by looking up. Literally. There's going to be pictures on the screen. So as we go through this, if you can't see, I gave someone else the advice. You guys ever see, it's not the greatest show, but America's Got Talent. Heidi Klum does this to see better. If you need to, you can do that. Well, I love the creation story in Genesis. It starts out by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means God spoke and they came into being. And then just a couple verses later, He said, let there be light. And there was light. That means He spoke and the universe lit up. It's funny when there's two things that I hear people say that every time they say it, I wonder, have you thought about what you're saying? The first one is, I would love to see the full glory of God. Would you, though? Because everyone in Scripture that I see sees even a minute fraction of God's glory, responds the same way. Surely I'm dead. Moses couldn't even stand in front of God's full glory. The other one that I'll hear is, I would love to have been there at creation. And I like I see the allure of the thought. I see how that might be nice, but I don't think it would be as pleasant as you think it would be if you're standing there the moment that God said, let there be light, and light comes flying out of His mouth at 186,000 miles a second. If you forgot from school, that's how fast light travels, 186,000 miles a second. And you're probably thinking, that's really fast. It is really fast. That's enough. That's fast enough that every second it could travel around the earth 7 times. That is cruising. And when God opened His mouth and said, let there be light, at 186,000 miles a second, the universe lit up for the first time. The psalmist says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. We live in a special place in the universe called the Milky Way galaxy. It looks like this. This is a composite image of what scientists believe it looked like because we can't get out that far. You'll often see throughout today and online, anytime that we try to imagine what something will look like, we can't see that far. We can't get that far. So scientists will take thousands of images and they'll work with an artist to compile what they believe something will look like. And this is where we call home. This is the Milky Way galaxy. The universe God created is so big. We need to establish this first. The universe God created is so big that we have to use a special measurement for it. The inch doesn't work. The mile, the foot, it means nothing in God's universe. We have to use something called a light year. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's how far light will travel in a year. So if you take a beam of light that's traveling 186,000 miles a second, multiply it times a year, which I dare you to try on your calculator, you get 5.88 trillion miles in a year. That's the unit of measurement in God's vast universe. And our own Milky Way galaxy consists of billions of stars. And it's one of hundreds of billions of galaxies. Another scientist said, if you tried to count every star in our galaxy, you ever try that? Sit at night, see the stars and think, those are really, it's a nice, cool evening. I'll just sit here and count them and enjoy. 1, 2, 3. And you count one star every second. You've ever tried that? And like me, after about 50, you go, I can't even remember if I counted that star or not because I can't keep track. And there's no way I'm going to get to them. If you counted a star, one every second in just the Milky Way galaxy, it'll take you 2,500 years. And that's one of hundreds of billions of galaxies in God's universe. You want to know how the universe is telling us that God's big? In the book of Isaiah, God says about Himself, to whom will you compare me? And who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Who created all of these? the one who leads forth the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his mighty strength and great power, not one of them is forgotten. It's important that we right-size God. Those billions of stars in the hundreds of billions of galaxies, and he knows each one of them by name. The heavens are telling us that God is bigger than we could ever imagine. He's working on a scale bigger than we could ever dream. He does not think like we think. He does not act like we act. And he is not restricted how we're restricted. But the heavens are also telling us something else. They're telling us that God's really, really, really big, but they're also telling us that we're really, really, really small. Not a whole lot of excitement about that one. As I said a minute ago, this is a composite shot of the Milky Way galaxy. If you were to travel across the Milky Way galaxy, it's 100,000 light years across. So that means you get in your car, drive 5.88 trillion miles a year for 100,000 years, and you can get to the other side of the Milky Way galaxy. Maybe you're asking, if this is our little neighborhood in the galaxy, where are we at? I don't see us. Well, we could blow this image up to 40 feet by 40 feet even, and I wouldn't be able to make a dot that you could see with your eye relative size to this galaxy that would be a representation of our solar system. Scientists say that we are a quarter, and the Milky Way would be the size of the North American continent. That's where we call home. So we're the size of a quarter in a place the size of the North American continent. We are not that consequential in our own neighborhood. And maybe you're wondering, we must be right in the center. No, you don't want to live in the center of a Milky Way. That's a dangerous place. We're not even in the center of our own Milky Way galaxy. If you weren't sure that it's not about us, let me assure you. We must be in one of the bands then, right? No. God picked a perfect spot in between bands. You also don't want to live in the bands. That's bad, dangerous territory. You don't want to live at the center. You don't want to live in the bands. We're in a little spot in between two bands, kind of floating in nowhere. God picked the perfect spot for us to live. Somewhere in there is a ball of rock and water floating around a sun, and we call it home. It's Earth. That's you. That's me. That's everyone who's ever lived. This is a famous image from a 1972 space mission. You've probably seen it. If you know your geography well, we're looking at the continent of Africa. Off to the right, there's kind of Madagascar. Up on the very top corner, you can see the Mediterranean Sea. What's amazing about this image is not what you see. It's what you don't see. You don't see countries. You don't see cities. You don't see people. You don't see the hurt that's going on. You don't see the great need. I don't know about you, but when I see an image like this, I start to feel like maybe I'm not as big as I make myself out to be, that maybe I'm not as consequential, that maybe the fall really did trick me, inflate me, and decrease God. I love this quote by Neil Armstrong. He's the first man to walk on the moon. On his trip back, he says, "I remember on the way home on Apollo 11, it suddenly struck me that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the Earth. I put up my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out planet Earth. But I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small." The psalmist nailed it when he said, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him?" In 1977, NASA launched a spacecraft, a space probe, on a one-way mission away from the sun, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour. its goal, it's called Voyager, its goal was to take pictures of planets and other things that we didn't know were out there. 13 years later, on Valentine's Day, 1990, scientists gave it one last mission. Before you go where we can't reach you anymore, turn around and take a picture of everything you've seen, a panoramic image, and send it back to us. And so it takes this succession of pictures, 60 pictures of everything that it had seen. And it starts to send these pictures back to Earth. Now, at this point, it's 3.7 billion miles away, traveling 40,000 miles an hour. Each picture is made up of 640,000 pixels. A pixel is the little dot inside a picture that helps make up the picture. It takes each pixel 5.5 hours to get to Earth. 60 images, 640,000 pixels, 5.5 hours each. It took months for those pictures to get back. You think you have internet issues. When it does, this is what they get. It completely stuns astronomers. You're probably looking at it going, that's the picture that I accidentally take on my phone, and I delete it. What you're looking at is beams of light reflecting off of Voyager, beams of light from the sun. And what it has captured, if you can't see it, if you've got the cheap seats, there's this strong beam of light, and about 3/4 up is a little speck. At 3.7 billion miles away, that's a picture of the Earth. It's a very famous image called the pale blue dot. There's a famous quote with this image from an astronomer that says, everyone who's ever lived their lives lived them out on that tiny pale blue dot. A mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. I don't know about you, but when I see an image like that, I start to get a shrinking feeling over me. And maybe you're thinking, Pastor Mac, making me feel pretty small. I'm trying to help you see that you are small. But as small as we might feel, it's significantly insignificant. As small as we may be, that tiny speck out in space, we are prized by majesty. Just as God can look at each star and call them by name, He can call you by name. He can go through the room calling you by name, Eric, Robin, Jill, Richard, James. And He can go through the whole room. He knows where you are, what you're going through. And though we may feel really small, God still prizes you. I want to take a quick journey outward, if you don't mind. We're going to take a little journey, look at some stars in a constellation, if you don't mind, just to get a better idea and understanding of just how big things are that God created. I'd like to start with our very own star. It's not the biggest, it's not the brightest, but we call it the sun. That's a pretty famous image, just to help you understand that little black dot up there that you see is Venus. This is a famous image, but I also included this next one. It's an image taken a year ago. It's the most high-def image of the sun we've ever taken. March 7, 2022, the European Space Agency worked with NASA. They sent a probe to take pictures of the sun. It hadn't been done in 50 years. It took a succession of 25 pictures. They compiled it and made the most high-res picture of the sun ever taken. Just to scale, that little blue dot up in the top right corner, that would be the size of Earth compared to the sun. Our sun is not as fierce looking right there as it really is. We often, kids will draw a picture of the sun, and what do they put on the sun? A little smiley face. The sun's surface burns at 10,000 degrees. Its center burns at somewhere around 15 million degrees. Light travels from it 186,000 miles a second. It takes 8 minutes to travel the 93 million miles to get to Earth. If we could harness the power of the sun for 1 minute, it would run the electrical grid of America for 7 million years. But I also want you to notice its size. It's a million times the size of Earth. I thought that would get a bigger reaction. So I have this little golf ball that I'm going to help us understand and keep in mind just how big things are. So if the Earth were a golf ball, you could fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. That's enough golf balls to fill up a school bus. The sun is way bigger than we think it is. Now I really want to point out what the psalmist said in Psalm 33. We read it earlier. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry host, by the breath of his mouth. The earth is 93 million miles away. We don't want to get any closer. It would burn us up. The earth would fit in it 960,000 times. And the psalmist tells us that when God built it, he didn't lift a finger. He spoke and it came into existence. The God we serve is on a scale that we can't even really wrap our minds around. But I want to move on to another star. This next star will knock your socks off. You've probably heard of it. It's called Betelgeuse. Some people pronounce it Betelgeuse. That's weird. It doesn't look like much. But if you were to compare this star, it's 427 light years away. This is an image zoomed in from our Hubble Space Telescope, which recently got replaced by a new one. We might get a new image of it soon. It's floating in space 427 light years away. So let me remind you, that's if you travel at 5.88 trillion miles for 427 years, you'll get to Betelgeuse. And here's the crazy part. It's twice the size of, you're probably thinking I'm going to say the sun, it's twice the size of Earth's orbit around the sun. This is a ginormous star. If the Earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 6 Empire State Buildings on top of each other. If you don't know much about the Empire State Building, it stands at 1,400 feet. So I want you to get a golf ball, set it down. This is you and me. Find you on there. Back up and imagine 6 1,400-foot buildings on top of each other. That's enough golf balls. We could fit 242 trillion Earths inside Betelgeuse. That's enough golf balls to fill up the Superdome with golf balls 3,000 times. Artists work with NASA and other space agencies, like I said earlier, to create some illustrations of what they think this would look like if we could zoom in far enough on it. Based on what we know, that's what they think it will look like. The sheer size of this star stumps me because I look at something like this, its size, its magnitude, and I remember all those times I prayed to God and I was informing him. I was giving him some tips on how he could do things, trying to help God out. But let's go a little bit bigger. This next star is 3,000 light years away. It's called Musifi. It's also called Herschel's Garnet Star. It doesn't look like much when you look at that. But again, artists have come up with an illustration that they believe if we could zoom in far enough, it would look like this. It's called a red giant star. If the Earth were a golf ball, Musifi would be the size of 2 Golden Gate bridges end to end. If you don't know much about the Golden Gate Bridge, it's 1.7 miles long. It's 8,981 feet long. So I want you to set a golf ball down. This is you and me. Find you on it. Stand back and imagine a bridge long enough that it would go from Tenasket almost to Janus Bridge. That's enough golf balls. Well, that's 2.7 quadrillion golf balls. Can anyone wrap their mind around quadrillion? That's a number that we don't often talk about. In fact, I only can deal with a couple thousand because that's about how much money I have. So when we start talking about quadrillion, I don't think we can really understand it. So here, let's do this to help you kind of get a perspective. Everyone knows how counting works, right? 1,000 millions is 1 billion. 1,000 billions is 1 trillion. 1,000 trillions is 1 quadrillion. And let me help you get a perspective. 1 million seconds ago, 12 days ago. You can try to do that on your calculator as well. I dare you. A billion seconds ago, you're probably thinking like 3 weeks ago. No, that would be January 1992. A trillion seconds ago? Yeah, you're thinking like Roman times. 29,700 BC. A quadrillion seconds ago, 31 million years ago. This is a giant number. And if the Earth were a golf ball, we could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of Musifi. But it's not even the largest star we've found. In a minute, we'll get to that. But I included this next image because of how often it's talked about in Scripture. This is the constellation Pleiades. It's called an open star cluster. It consists of 7 stars. That's why it's also nicknamed the seven star sisters. It sits just a little bit farther away than Betelgeuse at 444 light years away. It spans 17.5 miles across, 17.5 light years, not miles, light years across. And the reason I included it, if you know the story of Job, that's one of the places it's mentioned. Job is a man, a righteous man who loves God, had everything taken away from him. And he's trying to deal with this, and he's talking to God. And God responds to him and says, Job, can you hold Pleiades in your hand? And Job says, no. One spot in Scripture, it says that God measures the universe in the span of his hand. Now, I want you to see this next image. It's the largest star we know exists. In fact, some scientists don't believe stars get any bigger. That looks real interesting, doesn't it? It's so far away that we can't get a very good image. It sits 4,892 light years away. We can't get a very good image of it. It just looks like a big white blob. Well, scientists, again, have worked with artists to come up with some sort of image that we think it would look like, and that's what they've come up with. If the Earth were a golf ball, it would be the height of Mount Everest. It's called Canis Majoris, and I don't know Latin, but that sounds like the big dog star. If you don't know anything about Mount Everest, it sits 29,000 feet, almost 6 miles high. That's enough golf balls that if the Earth were a golf ball, you could put enough golf balls inside Canis Majoris. You could fit enough Earths inside Canis Majoris that if the Earth were a golf ball, you could cover the entire state of Texas with golf balls 22 inches deep. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. And this is one of the millions and billions of stars that when God said, let there be light, he created the heavens and the earth, they came into existence. But we're not even as far out as we'd like to go. The next image, we're going to go way, way, way out there. We're going to go far, far, far out there. The next image, I'm not even sure that I can put words to. I'm just going to show you it. Jesus made everything we've looked at. Scripture says that through Jesus, God made the world. In Philippians, Paul says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth." And you may be wondering, we've been looking at stars, we've been looking at creation, at the heavens, we've been looking at other things. Why are we looking at the cross? Because he created all of it. He's a star-breathing God, a God that works on a scale bigger than we can wrap our minds around, measures the universe in the palm of his hand. And I reminded the words of Paul in Philippians when he says, "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." We worship a huge and compassionate God. My goal today was to help us stand for a brief moment in awe of who God is. We looked at some of his creations in the heavens, the sheer size of the canvas he works on, and being reminded of the psalmist's words. You know, scientists often have this debate that the universe is so vast, so grand, it can't just be a dwelling place for you and me. And I say amen to that. If its sole purpose is a dwelling place for you and I, it's far too big. But what if Scripture has it right? And this universe that we can't even wrap our minds around, its sole purpose is not a home for you and I, but its sole purpose is to display the majesty and glory of God. If that's the case, then I'd say the universe is just the right size. The psalmist tells us that the heavens are telling us something about God. They're telling us that God is big. He's really, really big, bigger than we can imagine. They're telling us that God is a star-breathing God that is more capable than we can imagine, that he's so powerful he created these giant, ferocious stars without lifting a finger. He spoke and they came into existence. Yet regardless of how big and how strong and how mighty he is, he chose to leave heaven, come down to our pale blue dot, wear flesh, and die on the cross for us. I don't know who needs to be reminded of this, but the God we worship is really big. Maybe you're in a season that's hard. There's problems that the weight of it feels like you just can't stand it anymore. Like the weight of it's going to crush you. Let me remind you that the God you worship is bigger than any of those problems. And though he never promises to take the problems away, he does promise he will never leave us or forsake us as we walk through them. Maybe you feel God is calling you into a new area of ministry, some way to serve him that you haven't been, some exciting new ministry, and the thought of it, the responsibility, the skills required, the knowledge you don't have is just too much, and you want to turn and run from that opportunity. Let me remind you that God, the God that we've been talking about, equips us for what he calls us to. Maybe you've never given Jesus really the time of day. Maybe you come here, you enjoy Sundays, but you've never surrendered to Jesus. Let me encourage you that he loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you that will never end. Maybe you're dealing with something completely different. I don't know what that is. I may not know what you're going through. I'm not big enough to do that, but I know a God who is. We worship a God that says there's no problem too big for him and no problem too small for him to care about. What I'd like to do now is pray for us, and we'll sing one last song together. Lord, I thank you again. Father, when I look at Scripture and the psalmist looked to the heavens to just get a glimpse of just how big you are, we can join them in that. Father, you've given us the ability to kind of understand the universe you created. And when we do that, Father, it really, really puts things in perspective. That you're a God who cannot be measured with numbers. You're a God that can't be fully understood by us. Father, you're far bigger than we could ever imagine. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to trust you, the God who is big, the God who can do, the God who promises to never leave us. Father, help us when our sin nature wants to put you in a box, put limits on you so that we can understand you. Father, you're not just some supersized version of me. You're far bigger than us. Lord, I pray that through the Spirit, when we have those moments where we stumble and fall and we have difficulties in life, there are situations that pop up we didn't plan about. Father, I pray that in those moments we're reminded of just how big and mighty and powerful you are. Father, in those moments, help us to have faith like a child. We love you and pray this in your name.